Blog Talk Radio.
If you and I have the courage to tell our elected officials that we want our national policy based on what we know in our hearts is morally right. Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
I am the voice of the voiceless.
Hey, everybody. It's about 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time on a... getting cooler in here this September. It's a Friday in September, September 16th, 2016, here in southwestern Connecticut and across the country. This is Liberty's Voice with Matt Bowman. This is our 9th episode. We'll be doing our 10th sometime next week, probably. And I am your host with the most, of course, Matt Bowman, Matty B. We've got a little news to talk about in the world of politics and everything. And I think it's going to be a 45-minute show or thereabouts. We've got 43 minutes to go. The call-in number, if you want to talk to me about anything in the world of politics, is 646-668-8944. That's 646-668-8944. I'm also in Facebook chat under the name Matt Boland. Matt Boland on Facebook. So, hope everybody's doing okay out there and getting ready for the weekend. And first we're going to go over, I think, a little bit of election news. Because we've got some news from the campaign trail coming up. So, if this sound will play. Little election news. Election 2016 presidential race. Did get tight. So, the news from the campaign trail is apparently things are tightening up a little bit. Trump is making a surge in some key states. The key states of, I've got pretty much five key states I'm following right now. Ohio, Florida, Georgia, Iowa, and Arizona. And he's making a good surge in those states. Clinton is still winning by a decent margin, according to RealClearPolitics.com, but it's getting tighter. Here's the current polls, the current polling numbers on electoral votes, and these without any toss-ups, no toss-up polls, from RealClearPolitics.com. In a two-way race, Hillary Clinton and Tim Kaine, 293, Donald Trump, Mike Pence, 245. So, Clinton would still win by a decent margin, but it's getting tighter. And in the five key states that I mentioned, as of the polling on September 14th, like I said, Trump is doing well. He's making up some ground. Let's talk about Ohio first, a bellwether state, usually for the Republicans. Carries 18 electoral votes, and Donald Trump up by 1% there. And polling-wise, he's supposed to be in the lead, but not with the electoral vote count, but in percentage, in popular vote. But it's the electoral vote that really counts. The state of Florida, 29 electoral votes, and it's close there, but Trump is in the lead by 0.7 percentage of a 0.7 of a percentage point. So we need definitely Republicans need to get people supporting Trump out there on down there in Florida. And in the state of Georgia, Donald Trump up 4.2 points. And then you have Iowa with 6 electoral votes. Georgia has 16. Of the key states that I'm watching, Trump is doing the best in Iowa, in fact. He's up 4.3 points in the race there for 6 electoral votes. And in Arizona, he's up 1.6 points. So Clinton did not have a good week, apparently, with the whole pneumonia thing and basket of deplorables. Not a good week at all for her. Of course, in the uber blue, ultra blue state of Connecticut here, which carries 6 electoral votes, it's no contest. It's safe Democrat, I'd say. Clinton leading by 15 points here in the state of Connecticut. But other things going on. And congratulations to my friends in the Libertarian Party, because Libertarian presidential candidate Gary Johnson is now on the ballot in all 50 states. Gary Johnson with his running mate, former governor of Massachusetts, William Weld. And Johnson might actually take a state or two, looking at the states of Nevada and Colorado, maybe going into the Libertarian column here. 6 electoral votes for Nevada and 9 for Colorado. At the moment, they are Clinton states, so he would take those 15 votes away from Hillary Clinton. And now, this is interesting, because with the 2 states going to Gary Johnson, Nevada and Colorado, if you put that in his column, here's your electoral vote count, according to Real Clear Politics. No, this is according to 270towin.com. Here's your electoral vote with the 2 states in the Libertarian column. Clinton and Kane, 268. Trump and Pence, 255. Johnson and Weld, 15. Which means, well, you need, like as I was saying, you need 270 electoral votes to win a majority. That would mean no candidate would have a majority. And in that case, the election would go to the House of Representatives, and they would figure out who the president would be. And for their part, the Senate would elect the vice president. And I'm wondering, could this possibly happen? Maybe. I mean, I think Trump needs to do a good job in the debate and remaining debates. He needs to hold serve, pretty much. And I just heard that Gary Johnson, the Libertarian that I'm talking about, has not been invited to that next debate, that key debate coming up. And I don't know why, because he's doing the best of any independent or Libertarian candidate in the past 15, 20 years, even better than Perot was doing. And he's not going to be invited to this debate? Go figure. But I think if Trump can hold serve in the debates, do well there, and Gary Johnson can win Nevada and Colorado, which at the moment might go into his column, we might see the election end up in the House of Representatives, in my opinion, because no one would have a majority. And on that issue, here's a question for you. Do you know what the procedure would be for the election of the president and vice president in the House and Senate, respectively? Well, here's what the 12th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution says on it. 12th Amendment says this, quote, "The president of the Senate shall, in the presence of the Senate and House of Representatives, open all certificates, and the votes shall then be counted. The person having the greatest number of votes for president shall be the president, If such number be a majority of the whole number of electors appointed, and if no person has such majority, then from the persons having the highest numbers, not exceeding 3, on the list of those voted for as president, the House of Representatives shall choose immediately, by ballot, the president. But in choosing the president, the votes shall be taken by states, the representation from each state having 1 vote. A quorum for this purpose shall consist of a member or members from 2/3 of the states and a majority of all. The states are, as always, will send their ballots to the president of the Senate, who at the time is Joe Biden, the vice president, because the vice president is the president of the Senate. And he will open the ballots before a joint session of Congress. And then they'll count the votes. And if one candidate has a majority, then he or she is elected president. Now, here comes the big part. Hope you follow me here. If there's no majority, if no candidate reaches 270 electoral votes, then the House elects the president from the three highest vote getters. And that vote is taken by state. And each state will have only one vote. So they'd have to get together and decide, okay, who are we going to cast our vote for? And in the Democratic state of Connecticut, it would be Clinton. But wait, there's more. A majority of the states is needed to elect a president. So if you get 26 votes, 26 state votes in the House of Representatives, that would be a majority of the states, and that would be enough to elect a president. And then the Senate would elect a vice president in pretty much the same way, unless there's no majority, like I said. And in that case, the Senate elects the vice president from the two highest vote getters, with a majority 2/3 vote of the Senate, which would be 67 votes, needed to elect a vice president. So that's a lot of detail, but I hope you follow me there. Did you get that, everybody? That's the thing. If there's no majority, the House votes on the president, the Senate votes on the vice president, based on states in the House of Representatives, and majority 2/3 vote in the Senate for the vice president. And it's also possible, it's never happened before, I don't think, in American history, but there'd be like a Democrat. And I'm getting a phone call on the other phone. No, wait. But a Democrat gets the presidential nod, and then a Republican is the vice president, or vice versa. So we could see Clinton Pence, or maybe Trump Kane. Very interesting kind of thing. I have no idea who's calling me, but it's somebody from an 800 number. Probably another telemarketing scam. I'm getting a lot of them lately, so heads up, people. Anyway, so that is the deal on the presidential election.
Sit down, shut up, and take notes.
And next up, with about 30 minutes, boy, that was a long explanation, wasn't it? And I'm on Facebook at Matt Boland, by the way, and you can call me up, talk about the election or anything else, at 646-668-8944. Got about 30 minutes to go. 646-668-8944. And our next topic. We're going to do this date in history a little later. But right now, let's go into a little more of a controversial subject. And personally, I'm a little bit upset that we're still talking about this because it's been going on for a while. But this is the national anthem controversy in the NFL and the sports. So let's talk about that.
Let me talk to you.
Well, the whole thing with the national anthem is, well, Colin Kaepernick, quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers, started this. I'm not going to stand up for a flag that disrespects black people and doesn't treat them equal. And this was even on 9/11 he did this. And now, of course, other professional athletes joining in. Several Miami Dolphins players didn't stand for the anthem before last week's game, before the football game last week. And they just did the whole take a knee thing, which doesn't wash with me, because if I mean, I get the whole protest thing, but really, if you're not standing for the anthem and the flag that men and women, many men and women died for, in to protect your freedom of speech and your right to protest and your right to speak out and do whatever, that's pretty outrageous to me. Just acting like a disrespectful little punk to me. And so, latest thing is the several Miami Dolphins players didn't stand for the anthem before the game last week. And last night, Megan Rapinoe of the U.S. women's soccer team took a knee, didn't stand. And then, of course, there's Kaepernick again. Like I say, they're disrespectful little punks. The least you can do is stand up. Really. Well, we do have one professional sports coach that is actually showing a little bit of guts. It's U.S. men's hockey team coach John Tortella, formerly coach of the New York Rangers. He's doing the right thing. He's showing some guts because he's saying, if you're playing on my team and you're not standing for the national anthem, you're not playing during the game. That's what I think should happen. And the question is, where are the NFL coaches on this? They should make it clear, as I've been saying all throughout this controversy, that either you stand up for the national anthem or you will not play that game. You stand or you sit. You want to kneel? You want to sit down during the anthem? Great, you can do that. That's your right. But just understand, you won't be playing on that day. And where are they on this? Where's the NFL? Where's the coaches? Where's the commissioner, Roger Goodell? Quiet, apparently. Deafening silence, I'd say. Not a peep out of the NFL on this controversy. Not a peep.
Have you been eating loco weed?
And that's getting to me a little bit. Because they're not saying a darn thing about it. Because they're too concerned with winning, I think. Not a peep. So maybe it's time, as actor James Woods is doing, apparently, maybe it's time to start a boycott on the NFL, saying as long as they don't speak out, as long as there's nothing from the coaches or the commissioner, well, guess what? I'm not watching. I'm not watching the games. I know that's hard to do for some people because, let's face it, the NFL is pretty much our weekend around here. It's part of the culture. Sunday, Monday, and sometimes Thursday, that's football day. But I would hope that people would be able to boycott the NFL if they so choose, would be able to not watch a game or something based on principle. sometimes you got to stand up for things. And you got to stand on principle sometimes. And I think it was Winston Churchill who had the quote, "You have enemies? Good. That means you've stood for something sometime in your life." And the whole thing is, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. That's the phrase. And so I hope people will stand on principle, and maybe we can get something started with a boycott here of the NFL. Because they're not saying a word. Guess what? If it was my team, you stand up for the anthem or you don't play. Stand or sit. But that's the national anthem thing. A little controversy there. Like I say, people are they're acting like big disrespectful punks. And I don't get it.
Let me talk to you.
Okay, we've got about 23 minutes left. Just a couple things going on in the world. We'll do this date in history, a little bit of more breaking news in the next 23 minutes. It will probably be one of these shows that I'll end a little bit early because I wish I could do it for like 40 minutes, but on Blog Talk Radio, you don't have that option. You either go 30 minutes or 45 minutes. Either a little short or a little long sometimes. Those are the options with the time sometimes. But anyway, let's do this date in history. The call-in number 646-668-8944. That's 646-668-8944. I have some friends online right now. RL from New York, Jaron from Oregon. Call in 646-668-8944. And so now it's time for this date in history. Happy Constitution Day to everybody. If you weren't aware, this is Constitution Day here in the U.S., as the U.S. Constitution was signed on this day, September 16th, back in 1787, replacing the Articles of Confederation. And so it was signed in Philadelphia this day in 1787. And a lot of some schools anyway, actually observe Constitution Day with ceremonies and people passing out pocket constitutions. It's definitely something that should take place a little bit more, I'd say. Also on this date in history, September 16th, it's the start of the big land rush in Oklahoma. American settlers pouring into Oklahoma, which was former Native American territory, but now opened for settlers on this date in 1893, the beginning of the land rush there. A couple other things that happened on September 16th. September 16th, 1908. General Motors was incorporated in the state of New Jersey by the head of Buick Motor Company, Mr. William Durant. And so, GM got off to a exciting start on this date in 1908, September 16th. Now, September 16th, 1940 was the date that Congress passed and Franklin Delano Roosevelt signed into law the first peacetime draft in United States history. Around World War II, that's September 16th, 1940, the first peacetime draft in U.S. history was imposed. a big date in the Vietnam War, 1960, September 16th, 1960. Well, the U.S. ambassador to South Vietnam, Elbridge Durbro, warned the Secretary of State and the State Department that the situation in Saigon here in South Vietnam is getting worse. It's worsening here, and we're probably going to have to do something. And that was September 16th, 1960. 10 years or so, maybe 13 years before the fall of that city, Saigon. September 16th, 1960. And finally, on this day, September 16th, 1990. As I go to my Facebook, see what's going on. Okay, I thought somebody sent me a message. But September 16th, 1990. A pretty cool moment in pop culture. If you watch these kind of things. the sitcom Frasier, starring Kelsey Grammer of Cheers fame. Dr. Frasier Crane, of course. It debuted on NBC on this date, September 16th, 1990. And so that's this date in history. Like this might be a little bit of a shorter show, people. We've got about 18 minutes, but I don't really have things to fill all 18 minutes, so we're going to probably go short. But if you want to talk to me, I'd be very interested in hearing what you have to say at 646-668-8944. That's 646-668-8944 or Matt Boland on Facebook. Matt Boland. And so we talked a little bit already about the election. Excuse me. So election news, it's tightening up. Clinton still has the electoral majority, but it's tightening up. And Libertarian Gary Johnson now on the ballot in all 50 states. So Libertarian Party, I guess, is happy. And a little bit about the national anthem controversy and the arena of professional sports, and we just heard a little about this date in history. Happy Constitution Day, everybody. Like I said, the Constitution was signed on this day in 1787. And, okay, our next story, we're going to our usual feature, free speech on campus. Not a lot going on in the whole free speech area right now on campus and everything like that, but I do have a little news coming up. So here's the free speech on campus report. Well, if you're interested, here in southwestern Connecticut, a pretty big lecture is going on, speech and lecture. Conservative activist and speaker Ben Shapiro will be speaking at Yale University in New Haven on Wednesday, September 21st, the night of Wednesday, September 21st, from 7 to 8:30 p.m. at Sudler Recital Hall on the campus of Yale University here in New Haven, New Haven, Connecticut. Like I say, it's Wednesday, September 21st, from 7 to 8:30 p.m. at Sudler Recital Hall at 100 Wall Street in New Haven, Connecticut, on the campus of Yale University. This lecture is sponsored by the Young Americas Foundation. They do a lot of good work on college campuses. So they will sponsor, they're sponsoring that, the Young Americas Foundation and the William F. Buckley Jr. Program. Now, seats will only be available on a first-come, first-served basis, so you'll want to get there early if you want a seat. But anyway, like I said, that's September 21st, the night of Wednesday, September 21st, conservative activist and speaker Ben Shapiro will be speaking at Yale University from 7 to 8:30 p.m. And seats available on a first-come, first-served basis, so you want to get there early, at Sudler Recital Hall, 100 Wall Street in New Haven, Connecticut, on the campus of Yale University. So that's my little blurb for them, my little promo there. And right now, that's the free speech report, pretty much. Because I don't have anything else going on there, but...
Sit down, shut up, and take notes.
That's the free speech report. And we've got about 14 minutes left to cover one more story. 646-668-8944, the number to call. 646-668-8944. Our final story of the night of this episode, as we talked about free speech, this date in history, election news, and the national anthem controversy in professional sports. And our final story, we got this from Fox News yesterday. Apparently, there's a pipeline, an oil pipeline, that is supposed to be being constructed through, like, North Dakota and parts of Iowa and stuff like that in the Midwest. And the thing is, it runs through disputed Native American lands. Well, a federal judge yesterday apparently said the project is okay. It's not really harming any Native Americans or residents of that area, and it can proceed. And it's going to bring a lot of jobs and a lot of oil to that part of the country. But wait just a second here. Then the Obama administration weighs in.
Dummy, yeah.
So then the Obama administration weighs in a little bit. They issued pretty much a statement saying, we're going to halt construction on this pending further study. Further study. That's what the liberals do when they want to stall something and punt to the next guy. They say, oh, it needs further study, even though it's been approved.
You've been dummy.
That's kind of dumb. Anyway, according to this federal judge out there, it's okay. It's not going to harm anybody. It's not going to really harm the Native Americans at all. So just build it. Just build the damn thing. That's my opinion anyway. Just build the pipeline. It's going to bring jobs. It's going to bring oil. It's kind of like a Keystone pipeline thing. The administration said, well, maybe for what seemed like years, but it was months. And then finally they said, no, it's not going to happen. And guess where all those jobs for the Keystone pipeline went? China. And Brazil and other countries. Not here. That was stupid to do that, in my opinion. Oh, we think it's going to harm the environment. It's not going to harm the environment because they did all these studies on it and they said no. But, of course, we can't let you do that.
Dummy, yeah.
That was dumb because all those jobs went to China and other countries. And here's an interesting thing on it. You have, in fact, she was on TV last night on Fox News, Green Party presidential candidate Jill Stein. She was on, what's the name of that for? The 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock thing on Fox News with Brett Baer and does it. Well, his show there. And anyway, some news about her. The Green Party presidential candidate Jill Stein, she was apparently on that land in North Dakota, and she totally vandalized a construction vehicle, which is against the law. And so a warrant has been issued for her arrest in the state of North Dakota. But she's on TV last night in Fox News' center seat, and she was asked about it. She basically beat around the bush. Yeah, it was against the law, but so what? So what if it's against the law? I don't care. That is the liberal attitude. They don't care. They, as long as it fits their agenda, they do not care if something is against the law. Not at all. And, well, what I said to my conservative brother, Tommy, shout out to him, last night while I was watching Fox News is, well, of course, she's not in North Dakota right now. She's in New York. But if there was a warrant for her there, arrest her right there. Arrest her right in the studio. I mean, why are we waiting? Well, of course, because there's no warrant for her in New York. But if there was, I'd arrest her right there. See you later. I'm putting you in cuffs.
Have you been eating loco weed?
But that's my rant of the day, pretty much, on the breaking developing news out of North Dakota. We are going to indeed end the show early. Didn't get any callers tonight at 646-668-8944, but I hope people are out there listening to the show. And we'll do it again next week. But topics we discussed today, we just talked about the oil pipeline construction in North Dakota. We talked a little bit about this date in history, mentioned a lecture, a speech going on by conservative activist and speaker Ben Shapiro at Yale University in New Haven, Connecticut, on the night of Wednesday, September 21st, from 7 to 8:30 p.m. at Sudler Recital Hall, 100 Wall Street in New Haven, Connecticut. Seats available on a first-come, first-served basis, so if you want to go, you'll want to show up early. And like I said, we talked about the national anthem controversy and professional sports, this date in history, the election race tightening up across the country between Trump and Clinton, possibilities for Libertarian Gary Johnson, who's now on the ballot in all 50 states. And we also mentioned if the election somehow, there's no majority and it goes to the House of Representatives, then what happens? What's the procedure that the House uses to elect the president? And as we said, they would vote based on who the three highest vote-getters are from the states. And that vote would be taken by state, each state with one vote. And 26 votes in the House, a majority of the states, would be needed to elect a president, to win the presidential race in that case. And also the Senate would elect the vice president in a similar manner. But that's pretty much it for today. We're ending about 6 minutes early. I'll hit my music in a second. Yeah, thank you everybody for listening.
If you and I have the
voice,
courage to tell our elected officials that we want our national policy based on what we know
Ronald
in our
Reagan.
Hearts is morally right.
And we will be back next week. Thanks so much for
Government
listening.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
I am the voice of the voiceless.